All right, let's read Luke 11:28 together before Derek comes. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
All right, I feel like I'm becoming an old man. I forget even my age, actually, sometimes. And so now that I'm 38, I feel really old. But here's what I'm learning, is that as a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, you know, old age doesn't have to be a bad thing. It really doesn't. You know, the Bible talks about old age in positive terms. Gray hair, it doesn't say anything about no hair, but gray hair is a crown. And it's a crown because hopefully, it's not always the case. I've met some gray-headed people who weren't real wise, but for the most part, if you really seek to learn from God and you seek to learn from other people and you seek to learn about life and you seek to learn about yourself, you actually can grow wiser as the years go on. And so what we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 11, this faith chapter that we've been walking through, we've titled the series Faith Family. And so today I want you to see just an aspect of faith, same aspect of faith that we saw last week, that faith is forward-looking and faith is hopeful about the future. Even as you grow old and you get 38 or 58 or 78 or 98, we're going to meet a man today. Remember Jacob from the Old Testament? Jacob was a man in this story, believe it or not, he was around 147 years old. Man, if you feel old this morning, like my shoulder's hurting a little bit, but can you imagine 147? Jacob was 147. His eyes, just like we saw last week, Isaac's eyes, remember? His eyes were growing dim. And we talked about this last week, that Isaac's eyes physically were growing dim. Today, Jacob's eyes physically were growing dim. But what I want you to see is though his physical eyes were growing dim, his spiritual eyes and his vision of God and his vision of life and people and his own family and the future was becoming clearer and clearer to him day by day. And so before we go further, just look into Jacob's eyes, not like as a hypnotist or anything, but the eyes of an older man, about 147 at this time. I mean, he'd seen a lot in his years, right? And he couldn't see as much as he did when he was younger, but by faith, and that's the issue, right? In Hebrews 11, it doesn't matter if your outer body is fading away, which it will over time. But inwardly, as followers of Jesus who have the Holy Spirit, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And that includes our sight. Maybe not our optical lenses and the corneas and the rods and all those things. But I mean seeing God and seeing what the purpose of life is. And seeing people rightly. In a moment, we're going to move from Not yet, but in a moment we're going to move from Jacob's eyes to Jacob's hands. But before we get there, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. It's on the screen, it's on your outline. Of course, you can turn there in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. I'm just going to read it. It says this, By faith, Jacob, when dying doesn't have to be the end of the road, and it's not, and Jacob realized that. In fact, that's the issue with faith. Faith realizes that death in this life is not the end. That's why our future is hopeful and bright. You'll see more as we continue. By faith, Jacob, when dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. What's that about? I'm glad you asked. We'll see in a moment. He blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in, just say that word with me, bowing in worship. That's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is worship. Today we're going to see an old man who was a man full of worship and faith. And the overflow of worship and faith shows up practically in people's lives in blessing them and passing on what God had given him. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Now, I want you to stand because we're going to read Genesis chapter 48. Stand with me. It's a longer passage because Hebrews 11 verse 21 refers back to this account in Genesis chapter 48. And so we're going to read this whole chapter. It'll take us probably 2 minutes. Okay, but I want you to listen carefully about this account of Jacob blessing Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. You might want to name your next children Ephraim and Manasseh. In fact, if you have twin boys, you might even be pregnant right now, ladies. If you're pregnant with twin boys right now, I think you should name them Ephraim and Manasseh. All right, you're going to meet them, and you're going to see Jacob's blessing of them, but even more than that, God's blessing of them. So before we read it, let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, the great and glorious God, the Almighty, the God who met Jacob in a dream and revealed to him the way to heaven, the way to eternal life. We are talking to the same God who met Jacob and welcomed a sinful, deceitful man like Jacob into your house, O God, even as you've invited us into your house. And so, as we consider the blessing of Jacob on his grandchildren, would you pour out your blessing on us and teach us more of what that means and teach us what it means to take the blessings that you give us and to give them back to you and to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read it. You ready? I'll read it. You follow along. In fact, I better, since I'm old, my eyes aren't good. It's really small. I better just read it from my Bible. You ready? After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.' And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, to my sorrow Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrathah. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Who are these?' And Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons, whom God has given me here.' And he said, 'Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your offspring also.' Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand. And he brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel, will pronounce blessings, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you, rather than to your brothers, one mountain slope that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." You can be seated. I remember when we first moved to Gadsden, just in that process of transitioning from Birmingham to this new land, this foreign land. And we were praying, of course. I mean, when you move, you pray, and you pray for God to plant you where he wants you to be, where he wants you to live. And so we were praying for a home, we're praying for a house, and I haven't like really shared a lot of this. I've shared with a few people personally, but it was amazing. The house that we live in right now, God gave it to us. I mean, he gave it to us. We were praying, and God gave it to us. Long story, I won't go into all the details. I mean, it was almost under foreclosure. The family that we bought it from, tragically, were going through a divorce, and so they had actually built the house. He had built it himself. He was a builder, and so when I say, I mean, God just gave it to us, and I was like, all right, this is where you want us to live, and it has 5 bedrooms, but my mentality was we're going to fill these bedrooms up. Now, at that time, we had 4 children, but we're going to fill these bedrooms up, which is why God gives us more than we need anytime. Whether God gives you more land, or he gives you more homes, or he gives you more money, or he gives you more influence, or he gives you whatever he gives you, he gives it to you so that you can use it for his glory and give it to others. And so, Lord, you've given us these rooms. We want to fill them up. And so you remember this, right? For those of you who've been in this journey with us the whole time, we've said, okay, 4 children, 5 rooms. We're gonna invite an international student to live with us, an exchange student. And so do y'all remember Hope? Hope was not her real name. This is funny. Like, she's from South Korea. There's a picture of her. Remember Hope? there she is right there with our family. Aren't the kids small? Aren't the Thomas kids small? Like, wow, the Thomas kids are small. But this is Hope, double peace sign. I don't know where she got that from. At this point, she pretty much only speaks Korean. And that was not her name. She shows up on our doorstep with her bags, like, "Here, my new family." That's probably all she knew, all right? And she shows up, and she allows us to give her a name. Her name, I'm going to try my best to remember. It's like Yin Min Chu. Is that close, Heather? Thank you. All right. Yin Min Chu was her name. And so we got to give her a new name. That's cool. That's like another daughter, which was the whole prayer the whole time, right? God, give us children to fill up this house that you've given us. So, all right. And so he gives us another daughter. We name her. And I think we went back in the room and we were like, all right, we had a huddle. I guess I was the quarterback and Heather was she was probably the quarterback. I was probably the center or something. And so I get down there. Or she gets down there. I'm the center. And I said, I think we should name her Hope because we want her future to be bright. And we pray, we hope that as a result of her being in our home, that her future is bright. And so that's her name, Hope. So we go out there and we tell her, "Your name is Hope." And she said, "I don't like Hope." Just kidding. She loved it from the beginning. She loved it. And so that was her name. And she's even got a Facebook page now, Hope. I guess it's her American Facebook page. I don't know. I've never asked her. But God had given us so much, And we wanted to give back to her. We wanted to bless her. The one downside is she brought seaweed. You know, they eat seaweed there, and it smelled up the whole house. But it was worth it. It was worth it because she was in our home. And just symbolically, our prayer was, you know, to lay our hands on her and pray God's blessing on her and her future. That's similarly what's happening in Genesis chapter 48. Jacob, of course, had 12 sons and one daughter that we know of, Dinah. And one of the sons that Jacob had, his name was Joseph. It was actually his second to last son that he had through Rachel. He had another son. His last born son's name was Benjamin. And so Joseph, you remember the story, right? Joseph was, according to the Bible, Jacob's favorite son. Remember he bought him the multicolored coat as an expression of his love for Joseph? And remember the brothers, the other brothers, they got jealous. And in jealousy and in anger, remember, they wanted to do away with their brother. Long story short, because we're going to look at the story of Joseph next week. I can't wait for it. And so we won't go into all the details. But long story short, Joseph ends up, if you want to hear the more, you can read the Bible ahead of time, but we'll talk about it next week. Joseph ends up in Egypt. And he ends up in Egypt in terrible circumstances. Terrible circumstances. Eventually, he rises up. We'll hear more next week. He rises up to power. And he's second in command over Egypt, which is the United States of that day. I mean, he is second in command in the most powerful nation in the world, as far as we know. And he's there for a purpose. God gives him that position. God gives him those resources. Remember, God gives him that grain so that he can be a blessing, not just to himself, to the Egyptians, but to the people of the world, because there was a famine, remember, overall. And not just the people of the world, to his own family, his father and his father's sons, the very ones that sold him into slavery, he's going to feed them and their children and probably even their children's children. And so eventually they all end up in Egypt. Remember, Jacob and the 12 sons are all in Egypt. And so it's there in Egypt that Joseph, he has two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so that's kind of the context here that you see. Now, Jacob's an old man, and he's been blessed by God. And you have to start there, right? Because I told you to consider Jacob's hands. Let's do that for a moment. I've got a picture to help you. Consider the hands of an old man. Consider the hands of a man 147 years old. Probably didn't look like they did when he was 10. Or even 20 for that matter. Jacob's hands. And Jacob in this story, he takes his hands because Jacob realizes that the reason he's where he is and the reason why he's blessed with what he has is because the hand of God was upon him. Now you realize that, right? Everything you have is because of the hand of God. And Jacob realizes that. And so God has blessed him. He even refers to it in Genesis 48. He takes us back to Genesis 28. And remember in Genesis 28, when Jacob falls asleep and God comes to him in a dream. Do you remember that story? It's in your outline. We'll read it. Genesis chapter 28. We'll pick up in verse 12. This encounter that Jacob has with the living God. Verse 12. And he, Jacob, he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. Now, wait a second before we go further. God is saying, Jacob, I'm going to give you land. And I'm going to give you a multitude of offspring. But it's way bigger than you, Jacob. So I want to let you know, I'm going to let you into my life a little bit, in my prayer closet. I could show you prayers in my Bible that I've written based on this passage. God, would you bless me? Would you give me land? Would you give me homes? Would you give me resources? Would you give me people? Now, you could pray that for yourself, couldn't you? And some people do. But what if we began? What if you began? And that's why I'm telling you this, by the way. What if you began to pray like that? Maybe you already do, but you prayed like that for the next sentence that we're going to read. And here it is. You ready? God promises Jacob, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's it, right? God bless us so that your blessing can flow to others. Not that I'm the end, so that I can give that away to others. You see, now God pray that he would expand your territory and your life and your influence if, in fact, you want others to know him and love him. And even more than that, we'll see in a moment, that it's even bigger than human beings. The way that God, through blessing Jacob, is going to bless the nations is through exalting his son Jesus. We'll see that in detail here in a moment. And so what if we began to pray, God, unleash your blessing on me in my life so that you would be exalted and praised, Jesus, among the peoples of the earth through my itty-bitty, itsy-witsy, teeny-weeny life before I die. So that when I die, your life still speaks through what you've allowed me to do. Does that make sense? That's how you live when death is not the final period. When you begin to live for eternity, it changes the way you spend your time, your resources, your homes, your cars, your money, your everything. Your gifts, your abilities. Think about it with me. I was talking with a friend of mine this last week. We go way back. He's a financial advisor, very successful financial advisor. And and I remembered a conversation that I was having with him, I'm going to say 7 years ago. And he talked me into getting an insurance plan for my family. So I'm going to guess I was probably 31, 32. And so as a young lad, 31, 32, you know, he convinced me that, you know, what would happen if, and it was good, I'm glad that he convinced me, like looking back, I'm really glad. He convinced me, like, what would happen if you died to your wife and to your children? And so I got an insurance policy that if I died before my family was grown, that the head and the kids would be taken care of. It was a really smart move. Very small amount that I had to pay each month to provide for them and the fact that the Lord might take me home early. So that was good. But in that conversation, he began to tell me about a pastor who not only got an insurance plan for his family, but got an insurance plan so that if he died and when he died, there would be a lot of money that would go to the household of God, to the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So this pastor he was telling me about not only got an insurance policy for his family, so they would be taken care of if he died, he also got an insurance policy so that when he died, the church, the household of God, and the kingdom of God would get a lot of money too. And I thought, wow, that's really neat. And I began to pray that way. And that's my prayer. My prayer is not only that my family would be taken care of, but that the nations would be impacted and that the church, this church and other churches would be impacted even when I die. That's a different way to think about the future. And I'm thankful he helped me to see that. But this is the way that Jacob was thinking, and I think praying. And so it comes time, Joseph brings the little boys to him. And And rather than putting his right hand on the firstborn, Manasseh, he puts his right hand, Jacob does, on the head of Ephraim, the secondborn, because God had a plan for, he had a plan for Manasseh too, but he had a plan to bless Ephraim in a unique way. And so he lays his hands on them, and what does he do? He blesses them. Now, Jacob realizes that he's not the blesser, and he realizes that everything he's received from God, who is the blesser. In fact, Jacob says that. He's been my shepherd since I was born. I mean, he's been my leader. He's provided for me. He's protected me. He's lavished his love and his provision upon me. And so now I want to be the avenue, the instrument, even in my grandchildren's lives. Have you thought about that? I mean, do you pray for your children and your children? Children and your children's children's children. Do you pray that way? Do you have a multi-generational vision, not only for your family, but for the family of God and for the family of the nations? Do you pray that way? I hope so. I hope so. So, you know, I was thinking this morning, Brian, could you and Noah come up here just for a second? Yeah, so Brian, his oldest son, Noah's your oldest son, right? Yeah, Noah's his oldest son. And then Braden and Markel, could you guys come up here? Braden and Markel, all right? So, you know, after, this is funny, I thought about this morning. After Hope moved out, Braden moved in. Y'all remember this? Braden moved in. He lived in our house. And, you know, when I first met Braden, y'all know this. Like, he had on, like, gym shorts and shooting hoops. And, I mean, he was a youngster. You were, like, 10? Just kidding. You were 19, maybe? All right. And so he moves in just to see how God has blessed his life. I mean, now, I was talking to his boss this morning, and he's like vice president of this company, or functionally vice president. He's overseeing the brokerage. And just to see what God has done, just trying. I mean, I'm just trying to be a blessing. And then to see how Braden is now taking Markel and others like him, and he's just giving what God has given him. And he knows that. Brandon, you know, everything you've got is from God. And he's trying to give it to others. And then Brian, you know, in his own family, the Lord has blessed him. And I mean, I remember when we first met, you were still hammering out school. It was tough. As an engineer at Alabama Power, he's hammered all that out. He's got 4 children now, and he has dreams of more children. You pray like Jacob, don't you? And you lay your hands on Noah, don't you? Your son. And I learned this last week that Markel's about to be a part of his life in so many ways. But this is it, isn't it? This is it, that we give to others what God has given to us. So thanks, guys. I mean, it's just a picture. Thank y'all. All right? I want you to see what God can do through your life, your itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, small life, if you live by faith, future faith, right? Something that's going to outlive you, something that's bigger than you. And I'm telling you, at the end of your life, I know this. I mean, I've talked to so many people. At the end of your life, you're not going to look back and say, wow, that was a good sale, or man, I'm so glad I had that big thing or this or that, and I've got all this stored up. You're not going to think that way. You're going to think back to the people you are, or the lack of people. But you're going to think back to the people that God allowed you to be a blessing to. And so, let's start today to an even greater degree. God, help us start today to an even greater degree, laying our hands on others, right? Whether it's realistically or symbolically, like lay your hands. Take everything that God has given you and don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to it. I mean, you need what you need to eat and all that stuff. Don't hold on to it. Just say, God, where do I give it? How do I release it? So, Brian, is it just you or Kristen? Is he doing okay? However, yeah, Brian, you guys know Brian and Kristen. And so I'm actually wearing a little bracelet today. You see my bracelet? Y'all thought I was cool. I guess that's my bling for the day. And so it's Captain America. You'll see Captain America on the screen. Do y'all remember Captain America? This is Max, right? Max. Remember Kristen and Brian? They adopted Max and Miles 3 years ago now? 2 years ago, and what a gift Max was to them, and what a gift Max was to us, wasn't he? And if you know, Max isn't with us anymore. But the period in Max's life was not when he passed away. It's not the period in his life. No, Max was welcomed to the home of loving parents, and Max is with the Father now. And so even after walking with Max through that challenge, God has still stirred their hearts to bring another little boy home. Remember, Max and Miles are deaf, and you know, and from China. Now, Brian and Kristen, they want to bring home a little boy named Elliot. Now, don't giggle when you see his picture. All right, that's Elliot. And so this, if you want one of these, you get one of these today, okay? They're $10. You don't even have to pay unless, you, I mean, you want to. The money is all going to go to adopt Elliot. So they're going to be giving them out as we leave today. And so whatever you don't buy, we'll buy as a church. And I want to encourage you this week to pray for Elliot. This is adoption month, they call it. Yeah, not adoption month, orphan care month, November is. And next Sunday is a national celebration of, it's called Orphan Sunday. And so we want to be a part of that. And what the way that we can be a part of that as a faith family is to say, how can we bless the Delaney family and Elliot? Just one part. How can we lay hands on Elliot? That's what it is, isn't it? I mean, Brian's going to be laying hands on Elliot in a real special way. But how can we lay hands on Elliot? So I want to encourage you this week to pray about orphans in the world as you take your bracelet. And I want you to pray for Elliot and the Delaney family. I want to encourage you to come back next Sunday and say, Lord, what do you want me to give for this little boy? Just practically, a dollar, $10 million, whatever, okay? So tell us about the bracelet that they're going to get if they want one on their way out.
Sorry, it's a little bit difficult than I was expecting.
I understand.
The fundraisers that we have that we're going to be doing are going to be that we're going to generate. Sorry, I'm a little touched by the conversation we had. But it's going to bring in a majority of what our needs are. Max was in the hospital 7 months out of 12. And to give you an idea of the expense that we've paid with before insurance, it was over $4.5 million for his medical bills. But the wristbands are one of the fundraisers we're doing. We also have a Christmas ornament, one that you can, if you go to our adoption website, you can see that. 100% of that goes to orphans. Part of it goes to us, and the others go to African orphans that actually make those ornaments. So those will be available on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, look for Deaf Adoption, that's us. But the wristbands that we're selling, they have Captain America on the front of them. In honor of Max, because his favorite has always been, since we got on the airplane on the way home, is Captain America. Mm. He's always considered himself to be Captain America. And so that's on the front of him. On the back it says, I support adoption. Mm. And it's got a congenital heart disease ribbon on one side, because that's what Max passed away from. And on the other side is a puzzle piece, because our other son, Miles, has a profound intellectual disability and autism. And so Elliot is also deaf, so our heart is in the adoption of deaf children. And we hope that you've seen great movement in these boys and how much that they have come from, you know, being in an orphanage in China to here. And we hope that we can do it again, and we really need your support. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, let's pray now just for them. Father, you've given us so much. Our hands are full, our pockets are full, our hearts are full, our homes are full. God, we have more than enough. And so, Lord, would you show us this week how we can come alongside of a brother and sister in our faith family that are seeking to bring a child into their family. And ultimately, God, I know their heart is to for this child to be in your family, your forever family. And so, Lord, I pray that you would show us how to love them, serve them, and be a part of Elliot's, be a part of loving Elliot in a real personal way. And so by faith, we pray your blessing on Elliot and in his life. And by faith, we pray that Brian and Kristen's and Miles's future will be good
And Lord, we praise you for Max and his life, just even again in this moment. We praise you for Max and his life. And Lord, we praise you that even now he sees in a way that Jacob is seeing now, and Abraham and Isaac are seeing now, and that we long to see. And so, Lord, continue to bless them and comfort them. And Lord, continue to use them in this faith journey that you have them on. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, bro. All right, so I hope you see a little bit, right? These are just glimpses. And these are just a few ways. And I don't want you to be limited in your mindset at all. These are just a few ways. God is so big. There are millions, more than that, of ways to take what God has given you and to lay your hands and to give it to others. Now, I told you I was going to tell you how this is even bigger than humans. It's not less than humans. In fact, the most valuable thing on this earth, don't miss this, the most valuable thing on this earth is people, because human beings are made in the image of God. You can love cats, all that, fine. But human beings are made in the image of God. And so they are the most valuable. So that's where most of all of our time, energy, effort, resources should go to. But it's more than about the blessing of Manasseh and Ephraim. It's also about Matthew chapter 1. We talked about this last week, but maybe you weren't here. Matthew chapter 1. You'll see it on the screen. It's on your outline too. Remember verse 1 through 2 when Matthew gives us the genealogy, the family tree, the family history of Jesus. It says in verse 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob, who we were talking about. And so what we see in this passage is when God, in Genesis 28, promises that through Jacob, the nations would be blessed, he's ultimately talking about through Jacob's loins, through Jacob's seed, through Jacob's offspring. And Matthew confirms that, and he says, yes, that's what the promise and the blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was all about. It was about a baby that would one day be born. We read about it in Luke chapter 1, another passage I have, verse 26. Look at it. Remember, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob." He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Now, are you seeing that the purpose of the blessing of God is to exalt the Son of God? And when you desire in the depths of your soul to exalt the Son of God and bless the people of God and the nations of God, then he will unleash the Holy Spirit and all of his power to enable you to do what you could never do on your own. Because you might be in this room this morning thinking, "I can't do any of this. I don't have anything." And that may be true today, but do not underestimate the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And so for some of us this morning, it might just be, "Lord, I'm going to let loose of the control of my life, and I'm going to let you begin to control me and dominate me. Jesus, you're my Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Abba, Father, and watch what he does by faith." And so I want us to go back to Genesis 28 just for a moment. Remember, God promised Jacob. He said, in you, we looked at it, verse 14, in you and your offspring, remember that's a reference to Jesus ultimately, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go and I will bring you back to this land. That's why he gave him the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And then verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, oh, that you would make this vow today. I have. I'll make it even freshly in this moment if you'll do it with me. Would you make this vow with me? Jacob says, oh, then Jacob made a vow. He said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat, I gotta eat, and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Is that your heart? The Lord shall be my God. And then he keeps going, doesn't he? Verse 22, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. That's what I want you to see, God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. I'll give you a tithe. Now think about this. It's about God giving Jacob a house. And he's given you a house, even if you live in an apartment right now. He's given you a house, but you have to think spiritually with me. God has given all of us a house that are his. He's given this church a house. I mean, I mean, this building is part of it. I think other things. God has given us a house. And every house on the planet is his, right? The earth is God's and the fullness thereof. And he owns it all. I mean, that the earth can't contain him. The heavens can't contain him. The universe and the galaxies cannot contain him. It's all his, and it's all his house, and he delegates to people so that we would open our houses and we would give our houses. Yes, like even literally, we would give our houses to him. Have you done that? Lord, my physical dwelling is yours. Everything I have is yours. You'll do that if you realize this. You ready? Jesus, his hands. Do you remember as a baby? Can you think about, remember the old man's hands? Remember the old man's hands? Jacob's old hands? I love baby hands, don't you? You see them on the screen, the baby hands? I could just eat baby hands. Not really, but you know what I mean. They're just, oh, they're so yummy. Okay? when Jesus came out of Mary's womb, his hands, I mean, Jesus' hands must have been beautiful, right? The hands of God the Son coming into this world. Why? Why did the hands of God the Son come in this world? Was it so that he could grow up and be a carpenter and get calluses on his hands? Yeah. Why was he a carpenter? Well, to provide for his own needs and the needs of his mother and other people. Jesus would have been super generous, right? And so he worked as a carpenter. He used his skill, his gifts, and his abilities to serve the Father and to serve humanity. He took everything that he'd been given and he gave it away in his hands. Just think about Jesus' hands with me. And then eventually, those same hands are nailed to a cross. And in being nailed to a cross, he gives us his life. He gives us his life. And then he says, I give you my life so that you could have life and so that my nail-scarred hands, do you see them? So that my nailed, scarred hands can be placed on your head and I will bless you and you will become a child of God and you will enter into the house of the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to give you whatever you need and even more so that you can take it and give it back to me and to others until I bring you home. I'm closing here. You ready? Luke chapter 24. Remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples after the resurrection? After he died and was raised, this is what he said. Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace to you." And he said to them, his disciples, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my," what? "Hands." And he showed them his hands. Do you see them? Do you see the hands of Jesus by faith? Let's pray. Jesus, we see your hands and your feet and your body that was broken for us. And we see an eternal home. Oh, a home who you are the architect and builder of. A home, Jesus, that you promised in John 14 to prepare for those who love you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we sing this next song and as we consider the home that you've given us there and here, and Lord, as we pray for more homes, that we could fill with people that we could love. God, give us more homes. Give us more land. Give us more gifts. Give us more influence. Give us hearts that are full of love for you and people. God, bless your people. Give us freshly the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Give us health and healing to be used for your glory. Lord, give us. You've given us so much. Thank you for giving us your Son that we might be with you forever and experience your presence forever. And until that day, Lord, just give us glimpses of that and strengthen our faith and sustain our faith. And Lord, deepen our hope and give us a vision for life and even a vision for death, that we might die in a way that brings you the greatest amount of glory and praise. And so that our life, like Abel's, might still speak even when we're gone. In the lives of those that you've allowed us to lovingly impact for your name's sake. Would you stand with me and sing this song? Because if you're a Christian, you're on your way. If you're not